together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Dickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Dickney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my delightful wife with me today because we're talking about gratitude and the effect of gratitude on a marriage. And to be grateful, you have to understand better who you have. Understand the kind of wife you have, the kind of husband you have. And so we've been focused on husbands. And Vic and I were talking some. We don't have a Bible verse for this. We love it when we have scripture, but there's also just life wisdom and experience, what you see. And so we were kind of laughing and talking about the three categories of men that you most often see. And you might be a combo, but we talked about Mr. Command, Mr. Visionary, Mr. Steady. And even as Vicky described them, when she described Mr. Command, I found myself internally just resonating. It's like, oh my goodness. And it's so funny, when she was describing Mr. Visionary, I literally found myself recoiling. She said, he loves change. I was like, I hate change. Mm. I mean, I just think that's the way it is. I like it. I know it.
Until the Lord's return.
Let's not change it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So what's it like living with a Mr. Command, sweetie?
Yeah.
Is it Nirvana? Is it amazing?
I think it's something I'm still learning to deal with. I know, like I said before on the earlier show, my sister and I talk almost every day. And I'm really grateful because we encourage each other in a lot of ways. And one of them is in our marriage. And sometimes we'll just start the conversation by saying, he's a good man. He's a good man. And basically, that's just a euphemism.
Do you believe it when you say it?
Yeah. I'm trying to focus on the fact that he brings home, he doesn't drink away the paycheck, you know, and all that kind of stuff. He's a good man. That just means pray for me. I'm trying to live with my man in an understanding way.
So that's code language to sister for pray for me today.
Yeah, she has a Mr. Steady. So
okay.
Can't totally relate. But And I think this is just something like even, it's just so easy to not be grateful and so easy to get your wires crossed. This isn't something we've got down.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we had a huge snowstorm, some kind of polar vortex or something where we had
Arctic
12 inches dumped on us. So we've been here together. You know, I feel for you women.
Mr. Command's been working from home. It's been nothing but joy.
I know how to pray for you women whose husbands work from home. It takes a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Lots of togetherness.
Yes.
So I mentioned yesterday, hey, I need to go get my hair cut tomorrow at 1:00. And he said, oh, well, that's just probably not going to happen. And I'm like, well, it needs to happen. This cannot be back in 2020 when we have to go months without getting our hair cut. No, I must go see Douglas. He's like, well, you can just reschedule. I'm like, No.
Please, let me get my side of it.
Yeah,
I thought it was the reason I was pushing back is the day before I had literally said, now, I'm probably going to have to venture out tomorrow, despite how awful it is, and go to church and get some more stuff because I don't have enough stuff. I don't have my stuff here to do work. And she was just shocked, like, oh, why would you go out? No way, da 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 da. And then the very next day, she's like, yeah, I have a haircut tomorrow at 1:00. I'm like, what? You're not going out in this. I mean, our driveway had like 14 inches of snow that I had no intentions of removing.
And we also have this huge, we kind of live like on top of a mountain. So it's a huge hill.
The main drive up into our
There's only one way in, one way out. Steep
hill. Yeah.
Right. So we weren't sure if that was cleared and all that. So anyway, we did see the snowplow come by. He came by the street. And I'm like, okay, that's good. The road's looking better. But then our driveway still has 14 inches of snow. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, someone needs to get out there and shovel that snow. Now, I am not against snow shoveling. I have done that. I've gotten all 5 kids to do it. So I'm just thinking, all right.
I do miss the kids on that right there. We had a whole
that's why you have 5
a
kids.
Whole set of little shovels, and now it's like me. Mm-hmm. Like,
And they're supposed to, we have an HOA, they're supposed to remove our snow, but that had not happened yet.
Yeah, so Mr. Command was confident.
Mm-hmm.
I pay an HOA for this, and they're supposed to shovel snow if it's more than 2 inches. So I just kept thinking, they're going to come. You're going to come.
And
it's
I was
not
thinking,
my job. Not my job.
I have got to get Douglas. I've got to get there tomorrow. I will have to Uber there, whatever. But the main problem was it's our driveway. It has 14 inches of snow. So what are we going to do about this? So I was thrilled when Brad said, hey, I'm going to go out. I'm going to shovel some snow. I'm like, great.
No, actually, if you recall, I didn't say I'm going to shovel snow. I said, I'm going to venture out and check it out. And so I pop up the garage door and I intended to just ram my car backwards into the driveway and just crush the snow. I kid you not, when the door went up, it was so deep. It was just, it was 14 inches. And I thought, I don't think that's going to work. So,
and what we know from living in snow is it was soft and fluffy yesterday. But if you do not remove the snow by the next day, which is today, it's going to be hard ice.
I was just trying to push that out of my mind and not consider that. Yeah. I thought, I do not want to.
So we had two different agendas. I wanted to get my hair cut. Brad didn't want to shovel snow.
But at least then, once I saw the depth of it, I was like, all right, I'm just going to shovel just this top part of our driveway so I can back the car out.
There's progress.
But then I'm just going to ram it on down the rest of the driveway and drive over top of all this snow.
So he said, hey, let's venture out and see how the big hill is. And we've literally been in the house for like 3 days straight. So I said, great. So I got my shoes on, got my coat on.
She said, I want to go.
Yeah, I want to get out.
Okay.
So we ventured out. We drove.
So I drove down the driveway, no problem, on top of all that snow.
In the 12 inches of snow. Yeah. Then the roads were...
Getting out wasn't the problem.
Our road wasn't real clear, but then by the time we got to the big hill, they'd done a great job. It was dry. I mean, they had worked really tirelessly. So all was going well, and so we're trying to come back. Meanwhile, we meet a snowplow. We have to go way on the side of the road, almost get stuck in the snow. But here we are at our driveway. Now, I was very encouraged because he put a snow shovel in the back. I'm not sure why, but I just thought, okay, I guess when we come back in, he's going to get out.
Well, I just thought,
and make a way.
If at some point along the way we do slide off the road and we're stuck, it'd be good to have a shovel.
It had given me great encouragement. There was a snow shovel in the back of the car. So, you know, we're going to turn into our driveway into the 14 inches of snow. So he just gasses it and just tries to do a quick turn.
Again, this is Mr. Command. So without sharing with her my thoughts,
I
just began to take action. Because in my mind, I thought, I'm going to accelerate.
Get a running start.
And I'm going to swing the wheel and I'm going to whip it up into the driveway. I'm just going to ram that pile of snow. And I actually, because there was so much snow, I couldn't see where the actual driveway is. And I just shot the car to the left of the driveway.
Almost in the grass.
Up into, it was in the grass.
Okay, in the grass.
When spring comes, we'll see the tire marks. I think we'll see the damage that was done. So then it's stuck. So I'm sitting there, stuck to the left of the driveway, up into our yard.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm used to a Mr. Steady Dad who just would have gotten out and shoveled the driveway, probably added, you know,
her
salt.
Her sweet dad would never have rammed that snowbank.
No, and so he said, hey, you need to get in the driver's seat.
So I just get out. I'm like, well, you need to drive now. And she's like, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to be pushing the car.
So I climb over the console because I just have regular tennis shoes on. I take my seatbelt off, climb over the console.
Didn't go out prepared.
I said, are we going? What are we doing? He said, we're put it in reverse and I'm going to push you out there. And the car's like, Meanwhile, we're in a Toyota Corolla Sport. Yeah. I'm like, we're probably ruining the engine. And not to mention, his car, most guys love cars. Brad's, thank goodness, he doesn't spend lots of money on cars.
No, I'm not
it's
that
a,
guy.
What is it, 2000?
It's a 2010 Corolla.
Yeah.
And it's missing, the grill is already gone.
Well,
no damage was done to the front of the car from this snow incident.
I think he must have done this before.
One day I came out of church and looked at the front of my car, parked there, and I was like, something doesn't look right.
It's like a 3 foot by 10 inch
dark, gaping
grill.
Hole. And I realized, I don't have a grill.
I think he's rammed snow before.
My grill fell out. Yeah, maybe I've rammed snow before.
But I'm like, we need to call our parts guy, Andrew.
So she's behind the driver's wheel.
Yes.
I'm pushing now, and praise God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it came right out as I pushed, and she put it in reverse.
So then I thought, okay, now that snow shovel in the back, he's going to get that out, and he's going to start shoveling this driveway so we can get back to the top of our driveway. But no, he said, all right, get back over. And so then I get back in the passenger seat. And he's like, you may want to put your seatbelt back on. And I'm like, what? He said, no, we're just going to get a running start and just go flying through the 14 inches of snow up to the part that's already shoveled.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay,
Now that I had a better idea of where the actual driveway was, I thought, I don't need to be swinging to the right. I'm just going to back it up across the street with my rear end right against my neighbor's mailbox.
Start.
And I'm just going to gun it. And I'm going to put it down in L1 or L2 for a little more traction and just gun it up the driveway. And so we would make it like, I don't know, a fourth up the driveway and it'd start to spin. And then I would let it come back down and we'd run it up the driveway
there.
Again. We're
getting, and I'm just like, this is not how I would have done
and
this.
She's like, oh my word. And then I would thought, never have come.
Never coming again. I thought we're going to have to call our insurance guy because we're going to, our house has the driveway is to the left. It's not straight ahead. You have to make a sharp, curve. I thought we're going to go flying into his study.
Because the garage, once you get to the top of the driveway, you got to turn left. So I'm gunning it so hard straight up the driveway. What we're actually looking at is the front of our house, which is my office. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but what if you just slam into the front of the house?
And I think it took us six times. Then we'd back up all the way back to the street, then get around and start.
Because it was packing it down. It was working like I thought. Packing it down. And the last time we almost made it to the top, and I said, all right, this next time is going to be it. So I rolled it all the way back down, and I said, you might want to put your seatbelt on. And then I just gunned it and like, whoa, to the top. Mm-hmm. I was like, what did I tell you, girl? Mm-hmm. So there's how we have learned to relate to each other, understanding each other better. We're talking about gratitude and accepting who you have, both the good and the bad.
And the frightening.
And the frightening at times. But listen to what Scripture says, because there's a real place for this in Hebrews 13. Well, you know what? Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to share with you from Hebrews 13 some encouragement from God's Word that would push us in this direction of accept who you have and express gratitude for who you have and stop wishing for what you don't have.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment and his wife, Vicky, who's been joining him. You know, as I'm listening to them talk and talk about their snow removal adventure, it really reminds me of how men and women, husbands and wives, approach life differently. And if you found yourself relating to Brad and Vicky's story here, let me remind you of a resource we have available for you right now. You might have missed it. It was back in February that one of our fellows, or fellowette, Libby Glosson, hosted a webinar with Martha Peace, and together it was a joy-filled marriage. It's fascinating how they address exactly what Brad and Vicky are talking about today. That's how to communicate effectively when you and your spouse see things a little bit differently. Their biblical wisdom about turning differences into opportunities for growth is exactly what many of us in our marriages need. So go to FortisPlus.org and check it out right now. And while you're there in the Fortis Plus app, don't forget to check out all of our other content from our fellows, including news from yours truly and biblical insights about theology and current events. You're going to find so many things available to you in the Fortis Plus app. So check that out right now at FortisPlus.org. And you know, something that kind of stands out to me right about today's episode, how Brad and Vicky, they laugh now about their differences, but they're also quick to remind that it wasn't always that way. That wasn't always the case. And that's exactly why we do what we do here at Fortis Institute. Allow me to explain. Every day we get emails. We hear from couples who are stuck in that tension between different personalities and different approaches to life, and they're wondering if there's hope for their marriage. And that's where you come in. You may be asking, how is that where I come in? Well, when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner with us, you are joining the mission and helping us continue to create content just like Thrive right here and the marriage webinar like Libby and Martha Peace did. You help us create content all designed to help couples apply God's word to their unique situations. Your support means more marriages are discovering the freedom that comes from understanding and appreciating their God-given differences. So would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the details, which are available to you right now at FortisInstitute.org. Together, we can help more couples discover that their differences aren't obstacles to overcome, but opportunities for God's grace to shine through. And now, let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, with me talking about gratitude and how that might change your marriage or at least help you get some traction. Since we were talking about snow and ramming your car up the driveway, let's use the word traction. Gratitude could help you get more traction in, because some of you are stuck, some of you are spinning, some of you are yay, verily slammed into a marriage snowbank, and you're wondering, how do I get out and how do we get going in a different direction? Gratitude. Gratitude. And it's not something you find in the table of contents, usually in a marriage book. It's not talked about, but all the difference it would make. But to express gratitude, you really need to understand specifically, who do I have? What kind of wife do I have? What kind of husband do I have? What should I see in having eyes to actually see things to be grateful for? Here's what Hebrews chapter 13 tells us. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. I know in the context, it's talking about money and materialism, but there's a biblical principle here that can be applied more broadly to marriage. Be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Two things that I want you to take away from that. You have a marriage, and I haven't met a couple yet that there's nothing they could be thankful for. There's nothing praiseworthy, nothing excellent, no virtue, no characteristic you could say, wow, I do appreciate that. And secondly, you're not alone in your marriage. It's not just you and your spouse. God is with you. God is in it. God thought of marriage. God loves marriage, and he's in it with you. Any more thoughts, Vicki, about contentment, accepting the spouse you have, or understanding the spouse you have?
Well, as you can see, my life with a Mr. Command is not how, in my mind, I would want a Mr. Steady that's just going to go out and just please just shut
up
the driveway.
But it's exciting, isn't it? Huh?
Very exciting.
Wow.
But I wanted to get a little more on Mr. Steady because I feel like that's what most women have. And I just want to say, I feel like they're easy to just overlook because they're not real flashy, not the life of the party. But wow, when you have a Mr. Steady, I mean, he's loyal, he's faithful, he's probably just never going to get ticked off with you and leave you. I mean, that's a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important to think, who is the man I have, and really appreciate him. And I think a lot of times spiritually, you know, Mr. Steady is not going to share the gospel on the corner of the streets with that maybe a Mr. Visionary or Mr. Command might, but it doesn't mean he's not spiritual. So I think I ran into that also with women.
Okay.
It's like, you know, they're not necessarily as verbal about what they're thinking, but they are a solid, steady well, and there's a lot to them. They're very deep people, but they just may not be as vocal about it. But it doesn't mean they're unspiritual.
Right. And I think it's a good point that you're making. If you keep expecting a Mr. Steady to lead out, so don't you find that a lot of women have a lot of expectations on leadership?
Yes.
He should be meeting with the boys for discipleship.
Right.
He should be meeting with me for a Bible study and prayer. He should. If you are loading up Mr. Steady with a lot of shoulds, you're going to be disappointed a lot.
Yeah. And I think it just really comes down to what so much of area. I think the older I get, the more I realize just it comes down to I've got to trust God that he, now once again, doesn't mean you can't ask. But if you have all these things in your mind of what my husband should be doing, especially a Mr. Steady, you're just going to overwhelm him.
Yeah.
And you have to trust God that, you know what, if he wants to do that, but you can't step in. I think I've seen this too, I mean, laughingly, but it's kind of true. As women, we would discuss, well, are there three different types of women? And we decided there's really not. We're all command. I mean, sorry, women, not to throw us under the bus, but it's like, we know what we want. We want to tell people what to do. I want to tell my husband where to park. I want to tell him how to drive the car. So, I mean, you know, you can't run over your Mr. Steady. Let him lead. It's not going to be the way perhaps you would do it, but trust that God is leading through him. And then when you do see him take areas of leadership, encourage him and say, wow, that was so good that you did research on before you buy a house, which area is the best area to live in, or whatever you see. As you see him take on leadership roles or lead out in an area, tell him how that you appreciated that, but he's probably never going to be a Mr. Command. And so I think that's really what we've got to get our heads around is Mr. Command is never going to be Mr. Steady, though sometimes I long for it, you know, and then Mr. Visionary is not going to necessarily be a Mr. Steady, and Mr. Steady is not going to be a Mr. Visionary. So I think it's easy to look at the positive sides because you're not married to these people. So you don't know, you know, I'm thinking, oh, Mr. Steady, but I'm, you know, like I said, some of the women were frustrated because they have a hard time. Maybe they're not going to be quick at making decisions, whereas Brad's going to, boom, he's making decisions. And I'm like, you know, I'm leagues behind him. So I think that's the type of thing. You just have to, who is your man? And just learn to let him be who he is and embrace him. And once again, we've talked about, we're not talking about sin that's not repented of. We're not talking about We're talking about just let him be the personality that God has given him and encourage him in that. But don't just take him for granted. And I think as Mr. Steady's especially, they're kind of poo-pooed on, but they're really solid men who keep most of the world running.
So of the three types of men, you find that actually it's the wife, perhaps married to a Mr. Steady, that needs to think the most about cultivating gratitude.
I would have women in tears after they'd read this section and just thought, wow, I can't believe I have just treated him so poorly because I didn't appreciate him. I still want him to be something he's not. And now I just realize I've really been missing out on a lot of his characteristics and good things about him because I've been so set on changing him into being a man that, you know, I want him to be.
And as we touched on in a previous show, the goal is for each one of us to become more like Jesus. But that version of more like Jesus will still be composed of the same original hardwiring. Mm-hmm. How God, I mean, Vicky has the gift of mercy. Vicky is more, we laugh with each other and use the term risk averse.
Absolutely.
She must have used that phrase five times.
I used it today.
As I was ramming the car up the driveway, she's like, honey, I am risk averse. and for me, I always just think it's going to work out. Here we go. It's going to work out. And so that hasn't changed. The differences between us, but what's different is there's grace. Each one of us have been graced. There's a grace version
of it.
Great
way to put it.
Growth and grace and Jesus. So that I am called as a husband, it doesn't matter if you're Mr. Steady, Mr. Command, Mr. Visionary, let me give you a verse, guys. 1 Peter 3 says, live with your wife in an understanding way. That doesn't mean just be nice. That means know her and understand how she's wired.
So does this mean next time you're going to go shovel the driveway? No, I am excited.
What this means is next time you're not invited to ride in the car.
I'm just going to say. there's no worry
I'm
there.
Say, oh, honey, I don't think you want to go. I don't think you want to be on this ride.
I'll stay and watch out the window.
Why don't you watch from the window?
Yes.
I don't think you want to be on this ride. But let me back it up. Something that Vicky touched on that I think is a great biblical principle that explains some of what's going on. When Vicky said and laughed that as they've discussed as women, you know, when they get off on trying to clarify what kind of man do you have, and they've all kind of admitted there's really only one kind of woman, and that's not altogether true. You know, there's phlegmatic and there's more. But I think what she's put her finger on is consistently true and is because of sin. Listen to something that the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 3. When sin entered in, Adam sinned, Eve sinned, and here we go. Everything that God made that was good has now been twisted and is much harder. Marriage is still good, but because of sin, it's much harder. Listen to what part of what sin did in Genesis 3. To the woman, he said, I'll multiply your pain in childbearing and bring forth children. Your desire will be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. Now, that doesn't mean in a dictatorial, top-down, I'm king, you're my servant kind of way. It means that God has put together roles in marriage where the husband is to be the leader, servant leader. But here's what's interesting. He goes on to say, your desire shall be for your husband. That's not a sexual thing. That word in the Hebrew is not, I'm going to want him physically.
I'm sure y'all are so disappointed in that.
We wish that's what it's actually saying. Your desire shall be for him. Actually, it's a desire to manage him, to direct him, to rule him, to tell him what to do. And the reason we know that's what the word is indicating is whenever you want to understand a verse better, look at other places where the same word is used in Scripture. One chapter later in Genesis chapter 4, God's talking to Cain, who killed his brother Abel. And he says this in Genesis 4:7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your heart's door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So sin wants to rule you, dominate you, control you, and you've got to resist that. Because of sin, and here's what I think is so interesting, because of sin, very often women want to dominate, rule, and men are passive. And men don't lead, men don't serve, men don't take the initiative. Sin has twisted the good original design that God gave us. Oh, but there's hope. But there's hope.
Much hope.
I hope you've enjoyed in this show, especially how Vicky and I can laugh, because let me tell you, in the first couple of years of our marriage, there wasn't a lot of laughter.
No.
If you're listening and you're like, oh, but you don't know the marriage I have. I married the wrong person. We'll never be great friends. Listen to me. The laughter and camaraderie that Vicki and I have now, I never thought was possible. I was also guilty of thinking I married the wrong person. We are so different. Not true. God has grace for you and your marriage and your spouse, the one you have right now. There's hope that your marriage could begin to thrive because of God's grace at work in your lives.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.